Okay, so Proverbs 27, 5 to 17. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. One who is full loathes honey, but the one who is hungry, everything bitter is sweet. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbour who is near than a brother who is far away. Be wise, my son, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Take a man's garment when he has put up security for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he puts up security for an adulteress. Whoever blesses his neighbour with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursed. So remember that one when you come to my house, okay? a continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. I'm not going to preach on that one today. To restrain herself is to restrain the wind, or to grasp oil in one's right hand. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Now let's pray that these words and other words from Proverbs will convict and challenge our hearts today. Father, thank you that these words are powerful. These words are from you. Lord, they are wisdom literature, yet they speak to us today. So Lord, help us to have ears to hear, to be the wise person, not the fool, as Proverbs continually refers to. Lord, thank you that you speak to us with words that give us growth. And thank you, Lord, that you're here today at work in our lives. Amen. Well, today, like I said, we're looking at friendships and how to choose your friends wisely. I wonder if you could think of three solid things that would make a good friend for you. Three solid things. I wonder what those things would be. Would they be something like trustworthiness, or a trusting person? Would one of those things maybe be someone who understands you, listens to you? Maybe another thing, maybe a friend that gives wise advice grounded in godliness and knows when to speak. There's a wisdom in that, to know when to speak. Now, I wonder, for those who are on Facebook, I wonder how many of your Facebook friends could tick some boxes of what you would call a real friend. A real friend. Would you get 30, 10, maybe a few that could tick some boxes in those areas, or whatever area you've put down to make a good friend? I have 281 friends on Facebook, which is pretty light, really, compared to most people. But very few of them would tick even any of those boxes. Some of them wouldn't be trustworthy. Some of them I wouldn't listen to if they had any wise advice to give me. because they got none. I clicked on three of my friends on Facebook. Just three of the random friends. And those three friends had over 2,000 friends. No, someone close though. 2,000 friends. One had 2,600 friends. That was the most. And he was a minister friend that I know. So he's probably trying to influence people. But 2,000 friends, 2,600 was a population of Kahuna. So the whole population of Kahuna was their friends, according to what they're saying. I thought that was amazing. They could almost start their own little social media town. But really, I wonder if, it's so tricky with Facebook, because you've got all these friends, but who's really a special friend to you? How many friends is enough, and what is the value of having so many friends? I sat there and get my calculator out, and I work out these things. I thought, well, if I had 1,000 friends and I spent 30 seconds a day reading something of their posts, you could put this over a week or whatever, you can double it, halve it. Then if I spent 30 seconds reading 1,000 people's posts on their food, their holiday, quotes, whatever it is, I would waste 8 hours a day. That's what I worked out. So if you can halve that, double that, whatever you want to do. If you've got 2,000 friends over a week, That's 16 hours a week. So just like so many words in our culture, you know how everything's sort of losing its meaning? I think our word friendship is losing its meaning. I think Facebook has wrecked that a fair bit, but I still like Facebook, but it's wrecked it. We now live in a culture that has access to all your friends that you've ever met, people you went to school with, people you met on holidays, people at a funeral, friends of friends. You've got so many people you can just network with, contact with. I actually think that Facebook ought to change something, because you know how they used to only could do like, and now they've got all these other things you can do. You can do thumbs up or whatever. But I reckon they need to put I've met them. I need to have one I've met and friends and define them, because how many people you met that you put on Facebook as your friend, and they're not really, you just met them. This is what Proverbs says to us Proverbs 18:24. A man with many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Just hear what it says. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. God's word in Proverbs has something to teach us today. Proverbs 18:24 just spoke to our Facebook. We have too many companions, too many friends. It speaks to our life as to the many friends that we try and group in, and they bring ruin to our lives. Proverbs speaks to you, warning you that you could have the wrong friends. But also wisely, when you read Proverbs, points us to the right kind of friend, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's someone who knows you, loves you, understands you. And that relationship is actually closer than family. The more people you call friends, I think the more you do value. The more you do value that word friend. I feel very special with someone who's got 70 to 100 friends on Facebook to someone who's got 2,000 friends on Facebook. I feel like that person's actually made a choice. So within our modern society, within our culture of all the social media that we have, we have the most friends we could ever have, according to what we see the word friend. We have the most quickest advanced ways to communicate with so many people. And yet, do we as a culture feel loved? Do we as a culture feel like we have good friendships? Do we feel like we're part of a group of people? Do we feel like we belong to, in any sense, a community? Well, there was a loneliness study. This is echoing. It's driving me nuts. So I'm just going to come back a bit, see if it helps it a bit. Hey? No different? Okay. Hey? It's just going in my ear. Yeah, maybe that's the key. Anyway, there was a loneliness study conducted by the Australian Psychological Society. Now, this was apparently the most comprehensive report into loneliness into Australia. And it revealed that one in four Australians feel lonely. I reckon that would be higher in the regional communities, but one in four Australians feel lonely. Sorry? Many Australians, especially younger people, report anxiety about socialising. So of all our modern technology, we struggle with socialising. And 30% of people don't feel part of a group of friends. So lonely Australians, is what a report said, have the worst physical and mental health and are more likely to be depressed. Just think about what it's just said. So within all of today's vast communication, with so many friends just a text, snap, whatever, a phone call away, an email, whatever it is, we are lonely people. At least one quarter of our population are lonely. And we find it difficult to find real close friends, and we don't feel like we belong socially. And as a result, we suffer with mental issues, and yet we have so many friends around us that we can reach out for, so-called friends, but we seem to be miserable. We all have people that we call friends, but what is a true friend? That's what we want to look at today. We are people who desire friendships, relationships. This goes way back to Genesis 2. God said it wasn't good for man to be alone, for people to be alone. Now, it was describing marriage, but it reveals that we weren't made to be alone. Life doesn't seem healthy when we're alone. And we can see that culture says that to us, and the Bible says it to us. So I'm sure that you've experienced that joy of a great friend, someone who's added some value to your life, someone who's bring joy to your life. And then I'm sure also at the same hand you've experienced the hurt of a friend, someone who's gossiped or they've excluded you or bullied or laughed at you. I'm sure you've experienced that. God's word in Proverbs speaks to this dilemma, because these words originate from our God who is relational. I actually like that Bible passage, Roger, that you had in Hebrews, because Jesus calls us brothers in that passage. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. So here we have a relational God. These words relate, come from Him. We have a God who is relational with us and within Himself. So that's who our God is. Proverbs is Solomon writing to his sons on how to live wisely. And so wisdom is especially needed in choosing the right friends. And in context, this was in covenant Israel. This is where everyone was meant to be obeying God. And even there, you had to choose the right kind of friend. Even there. So Proverbs has this sort of statement in 18:24. Is there value in having 2,000 friends? Or is there greater value in just those three trusted friends? And you and I need to choose our friends wisely. 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So today I want us to consider what God's word has to say to us in Proverbs about what having a real friend looks like. So we're going to look at two things. Firstly, the bad, the foolish friend. So I'm not pointing at you particularly, just that side, if you're on that side of the room, no. There's a bad, foolish friend, the one that you would be a fool to keep, or at least associate to in a deep, deep way. And then there's the good, wise friend. He's the one that you need near. He's the one that's good to be around. And you're a wise person to have that friend. You don't want to let it go. So I think that we live in a culture where friendships are mostly caused by what we gravitate to. People of similar interests. They've sort of called this sometimes tribes. But it could be people who, well, that's what they call it now, like your tribe. But people, that you have something in common with. This could be sport, school, work, hobbies. You sort of gravitate to people. Church is another way people gravitate. And so the question is, can we find good friends in these places? Well, I believe we can in a church. But can you find a good, valuable friend in your sporting group, in your school, someone who you can trust? Can we look in these places? Can we find them? Who was the last friend that you received wise counsel from? I want you to think about that. Someone who you poured out your concerns to, your frustrations with, whatever's going on, and they actually listened to you, and they actually understood what you said, and they actually gave you good advice. When was the last person who was that for you? Because if you have someone like that, is a good friend. That is a good friend. That's the sort of person you need to find. What happens is what we often do is we take our problems and post it on Facebook. I've seen this happen. I think I mentioned this a bit last week. But what happens is you get thousands and thousands of comments from thousands and thousands of people you call friends that aren't your friend. And you have, on one side, I've seen it with one of Cass' friends, insults and encouragement. And it's like a battle. Who's going to be the best? Who's going to win? You're going to get more insults or more praise? And it's like taking everything and chucking it out on the street and yelling to people, saying, this is my life, and expecting people to just walk past and just respond. That's sort of a bit what it's like. And it says, Proverbs 18:24, it says, they will bring you ruin. The many friends will bring you ruin. It's true, isn't it? I don't know if you've seen it happen. I've seen it happen on Facebook. But we also know that having close friends can be dangerous too, can't it? It's a friendship that we often open ourselves up to, make ourselves vulnerable. We're at risk of close friends spreading personal things around, particularly on social media. Now that with just one thing you say, they could put it on Facebook, social media, and all your friends and their friends see it. So we need to choose our friends wisely. Rather than have 1,000 shallow Facebook friends, we need to have good quality friends. So let's first look at figuring out what the wrong kind of friend is, so we can choose the wise friend. So let's look at the bad friend. Time after time, you've heard the story from the courtroom. I was in the wrong crowd. I was in the wrong crowd of people. I was in the wrong gang, whatever it was. Although there's some, you know, sort of not my fault, so they're trying to take responsibility away from themselves, there is some truth in this. There is some truth in this. Group dynamics can change, can cause changes of behaviour. Good people can influence you in a good way, and bad people can influence you in a bad way. Proverbs 1, verse 10 to 19 has something to warn us about bad friends. It's pretty severe. They're going to got to kill someone in this, but it has the same principle of everything. Proverbs 1, 10 to 19. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our house with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessor. You know, in our desperate need, often to find good friends or to find a friend, we get lured into bad company. We make foolish pacts. We join foolish groups. And I'm sure that people don't always join these bad companies to do bad stuff, but within us there's that longing to just be accepted by others. And so what we do is we just attach ourselves foolishly to the wrong kind of people. Proverbs says, you are a fool if you do this. It won't end well. You're an idiot, it says. Proverbs 16 verse 29. A man of violence entices his neighbour and leads him in a way that is not good. You know, this bad friend is only concerned about himself, and he will lead you astray. His paths are not God's ways, and they're certainly not wise in any way. His ways lead to more sinfulness and his own destruction, and you will be destroyed with him. Proverbs speaks to us, flee. Flee from this person. Don't even put a step foot near him. It's because you've got to choose your friends wisely. Proverbs 22:24-25. It tells us to make no friends with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. You know, there's something even in our desire to be liked, that when we're around bad people, we act badly. You know, we become like the people that we hang around with. We learn their bad habits and we get trapped. Their anger stirs us up to be angry as well. It's like you're having an anger competition. If they get angry, you want to get angry too. And you try to win their approval by being like them. This also can happen with gossiping and slandering. I've noticed this particularly in work situations. When people are being slandered, it's like a competition. Everyone starts joining in. They start joining in. It's like a competition. Who can bring up the most dirt on another person? Because that group dynamics changes. Imagine if someone said, let's think of something we could praise this person about. It'd change the dynamics again. A lot of times I just walk away. I just walk away. Proverbs 11:13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. It's amazing how we can soon discover that we become like the people we hang out with. You'll notice a swearing man can certainly say the F and S words all around his mates, but as soon as he's around a group of ladies, he generally can control himself. It's amazing, that group dynamics. I've always marvelled at that, how people can do that. It's obviously not a problem, is it, if they can self-control themselves. They start to change. You notice it also when people sort of leave Christ and leave the church and sort of they can become sort of like the people they hang around with. They join a new tribe, whatever that is, and they start to become like that new tribe. And Proverbs says, you're a fool to go away from the good friend into the stupid friend that's going to just lead you astray. Proverbs 23:20-21. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them in rags. It's good that it mentions that alcohol and overeating, so something to speak to our culture. But if you hang around with drunks, I'm going to concentrate on that one. And it would be too if people overeat. You'll probably become obese, etc., and unhealthy. But with drunks, you know, we'll become like them. If you hang around them long enough, they will direct your path. You'll be the odd one out. Don't follow them. You know, you'd be stupid to get a ride with someone who's drunk, and yet often people do this, and we hear about those car accidents where people got a ride simply because they're hanging out with the wrong people, hanging out with the wrong kind of people. It can happen also with work. With work, it talks about, you know, someone who's lazy in Proverbs. If you're around a hardworking person, that wears off on you. If you're around a lazy person, you become lazy. Each other stirs each other on. So what we need is the good friend, which we're going to get to in a minute. We need the good friend, not the bad friend who's going to, everything that they do is going to rub off on us for the wrong reasons. Proverbs 25:19. Trusting an unreliable person in a difficult time is like a rotten tooth or a flattened foot. You know, once again, Proverbs speaks to us, doesn't it? You can't trust an unreliable person. It's going to be more annoying than beneficial. A bad friend is one that doesn't bring you comfort in your time of need. Rather, they give you pain. They're annoying. They get off you stupid things. And they bring you little comfort. They are no help, and you're actually a fool to think that this person is helpful to you. So as we could see in our culture, it may seem very popular to have many friends. But the question is, do those friends hinder or help you live the good life, the godly life? And are you choosing your friends wisely? So let's recap this bad friend of Proverbs. The bad friend is one who leads you astray. He causes you to walk away from godliness into bad behavior, sin, rebellion. The bad friend's behavior influences your behavior, and they cause you to be like them. They cause you to copy their ways. The bad friend spreads slander and gossip about you. They encourage drunkenness, laziness, overeating, indulging in life. In other words, indulging in life in a way that actually you suck up all your resources and you become poor, that you have nothing left. And they are unreliable and annoying. You can't trust them, and you're a fool to even consider them as your close friend. Well, what we need is a sensible, reliable, tactful friend. A friend that has our best interests at heart and vice versa. And these are hard to find. Because in a world that we have so many friends, we've lessened that word. Who is really our friend on Facebook? Who is really our friend in life? And we fail to develop these good friends. Proverbs 12:26. The one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbour, but the way of the wicked leads him astray. You know, good company, as we've seen the bad way, good company leads us into godliness, and bad company leads us away from godliness. So we need to stop and think. We really need to stop and think. We're so busy sometimes, we need to stop and think and go, is this leading me in a way of righteousness, this friend? Or are they leading me away from God and into wickedness, into sin, into foolishness, whatever it is? We need to stop and think. Proverbs is about thinking. It's about thinking, wise thinking, because you need to have wisdom and understanding. Now let's look at the Proverbs, what teaches about a good friend. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born in difficult times. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So real friendship, according to Proverbs, according to God, is firstly based in about love. The friendship is love-based. The friendship's not about what I can get-based, which is a real struggle, I think, for us in our culture, because everything we do is consumer-driven. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? But our friendship isn't based on that. How do we know this? Because the proverb just said the closer friend is found in difficult times. Only someone who really loves you is going to be around when things get tough, when trouble comes. Those who disappear aren't your friends. The true friend sticks around. He becomes closer than a brother. Sometimes even family. Look at Jesus. Even his own family deserted him. It's quality friends, not quantity friends. That friend that's closer than a brother is there in hard times. Their friendship is better than family. This is the kind of friendships we need, we want. But we also need to be that kind of brother, friend for others. What kind of character is a good friend? We're going to look at that main text again in Proverbs 27:5-6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful the wounds of a friend. For few are the kisses of an enemy. You know, Oscar Wilde said that a true friend stabs you in the front. That's what he said. Proverbs tells us that a true friend corrects you when he sees you doing something wrong. They see rebuking and correcting as a way of love. This kind of friend tells you the hard truths, the things you don't want to hear, but you need to hear. Rather than just filling your life with empty, beautiful, flattering words, they speak truth to you. This kind of friendship needs to be established first in love and trust to start with, doesn't it? You can't just sort of jump into people's lives. And it's not simply just running around and being like the mini Holy Spirit, rebuking everyone you see. That's easy to do. Well, can be for some. But we need that trust already there. A trust that when we speak, they actually listen. They actually hear what we've got to say because they know what we say is for their benefit. It's spoken out of love. It's spoken in the right tone with the correct information and within context of Scripture, or at least the wisdom of life in some areas. As we heard last week, words are the power of life and death. And so as a friend, as we speak these, we need to think these things. If you desire to be a good friend, you need to be willing to correct a friend who is going against God's word or living foolishly. And that's hard work. That's confrontation. Some people don't like that. If you have a friend like this, then you need to listen to them. They're a good friend. Listen to what they say. Give them credit for at least caring about you, to speak to you. And if they happen to get it wrong, which can often happen, remember it works both ways. You need to be the good friend to them. If they get it wrong, then you need to be the good friend in responding to them in a way that they see you care. What's God saying to you today as you hear this? Are you that good friend? Are you the good friend that people have in their lives? And do you have these friends in your life? Because like I said, I think too many of our friendships are too shallow and they are dangerous. And so what we receive is mixed counsel that is foolish from all these bystanders. People who don't know anything about us, who second guess. So many times they hear people given advice and it's like they're second guessing. They're just given an opinion. They don't even know. And so often we hear all these hundreds of voices rather than hearing a few wise voices. Proverbs 27:9-10 says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not go to your brother's house in a day of calamity. Better is a neighbor who is near than having a brother who is far away. Having a good friend Having a good God-fearing friend is like perfume that makes the heart glad. It's good. It smells good. It's enriching. They enrich your soul. They enrich your life. Their counsel is genuine from a heart that cares. It's earnest, and they know you. That's a good friend. Like I said, these things can be hard to find, but we have a church community which you can find that. Someone who is like this, as Proverbs says, is actually far greater than having someone who is very close to you in relationship, in the sense of being a family. This person who is local is greater than someone who is further away, who is family. That local, better is a neighbour who is near than a brother who is far away. You can have many friends on Facebook, but they don't do anything to your life. Who does something to your life is that friend who is nearby, around the corner, a phone call away that can come around to your house and talk to you. That's a good friend. So often, you know what we're doing in culture? We're chasing all the famous friends. You know, we want someone famous. We'd love someone famous on our Facebook. Someone that's on there, that's a famous friend that we could, you know, boast about. But what we need is close friends. Close friends that can speak into our lives. If we want all this, we have to also ask ourselves the question. If we want that reliable, trustworthy, godly friend, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we that good friend to them? Are we the good friend for them to have around? Because friendships are hard work. Loving people, speaking truth, rebuking, correcting, encouraging, being there for people is hard work. But rewarding work that brings maturity. If you want good friends, you need to be a good friend. Not dependent on friends in the sense that you can't live without them, but more mutually giving to each other as friends. In our consumer mindset, we often are looking for people to supply our needs. I was going to put something in here about sort of rich people and stuff like that. And so often, you know, it's great to have a friend that's got a swimming pool in Swan Hill because you can go and hang out with them. But our friendship has to be deeper than a swimming pool. Pardon the pun. You know, we often overlook because we think, oh, I need this person. No. What do we offer? What do we offer as a friend? Because we need each other to work together. We need a church that works together. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. I don't know about you, but he actually sat and thought about how that all looks. To sharpen iron, you need the friction and movement of the iron. This means that to sharpen iron, there's heat, there's frictions, there's sparks. There's grunts. Real friendships aren't sweet like honeycomb all the time. Frictions happen. It happens in churches. It happens in families. Because everyone is different, and yet we are all the same. And that's a good thing, because the iron sharpens the iron. So heat, friction, sparks are good, provided they are dealt with in a godly and graceful way. Similar people who love the Lord and share life together will grow each other. You have similar material, and you will develop and sharpen each other's character. Two of the same, shaping each other. So the good friend loves and blesses you and blesses others. A good friend doesn't leave you in a time of trouble, but actually deepens their bond with you. A good friend loves you at all times, even in the good times and the hard times. And a good friend is this sweetness around you as they give that earnest counsel into your life. A good friend is one who leads you in a way that's godly and speaks to you truth in love. And a good friend isn't afraid to say what you are doing wrong, because they love you and care for your well-being. They don't want to see you ending up staying in sin or straying into sin or following foolishness. The good friend sharpens you. as you sharpen them. And although there's heat and friction, it happens. It's for your good. It's a good thing. It's out of love. It's out of love that you're being shaped. Well, who can be that true friend to you? Who can tick all the boxes? And not just for a few minutes, but 24/7 over your life. Well, the answer is Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is the friend who doesn't turn his back on you when your life hits trouble. In fact, in our helpless state, Jesus came to rescue us. That we were broken in debt, and yet because of our sin, and yet he came, the friend of sinners, Jesus, to bring us back to God. Jesus is the friend we all need, the friend that is closer than a brother. Jesus is the ultimate friend who died on the cross to make us his friend, to bring us friendship with God. As Hebrews, I think it was Hebrews 2, was it? Or Hebrews 11? Was it Hebrews 2? Well, yeah, 2. Yeah, Hebrews 2. So Jesus is our ultimate friend. And unlike the bad friend, Jesus doesn't let us down. He never lets us down. He leads you in righteous paths if you will trust him, if you will follow him. Jesus is the true friend who speaks in love to our lives. Often these words bring growth and healing. Often they're encouragement. But in love, Jesus also speaks words of correction. He corrects us when we stray from his leading, from his path, as our lives are under him. And so as we sin, Jesus rebukes and corrects our ways. But unlike the bad friend, we can trust Jesus in this. We can trust his wise words. We can trust his wisdom and what he has to speak to us, because he's reliable. He's reliable. Jesus is also the iron that sharpens our love, because Jesus, in fact, became like us, didn't he? He became one of us, yet he was fully God. And Jesus is the one who ultimately shapes our lives to be useful for him. Every day, Jesus is sharpening your life as you get into his word. As you see Jesus, you are being sharpened. As he convicts you, you're being sharpened. As you allow him to work in your life, you're being sharpened. He's also sharpening as you depend on him in prayer. As you become part of a fellowship of God's people, he's sharpening you. And Jesus does all this because he cares for your well-being. Jesus is the real friend we all need. What Jesus gives, no one can offer. I can't offer it, not to the fullest. You'll get glimpses of it, but I can't do it as Jesus does it. Jesus is truly our good friend. It doesn't leave us there, though, because as a church, if we belong to Jesus, we are to model Jesus, who is at work in us. See it as a community of people who are loved and redeemed by Jesus. And so knowing this, as we live under him, as we walk in paths under him, as we sharpen each other, there should be a sweetness about us all. But there should also be some sparks. There should also be some sparks as the iron sharpens iron. John 15, 12 to 17. We read a bit of this. We read all of this before as Kirsten read it, but let's read it again, part of it. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. And you just think about Christ and think about who Jesus is to you. Does your life, first and foremost, focus on Jesus, the one true friend? And then secondly, does your life model his friendship to others? Do you model a friendship like his? Is your life being shaped by him? Matthew 11, 19, Jesus was called the friend of sinners, friend of outcasts, fishermen, prostitutes, a very broad group of people. But as a friend, he didn't leave the people in their sin. He redeemed them, yes, on the cross, but he also led them under his care in godliness and taught them rather than leave them in their sinfulness. I thought of five things to take home on friendship. And there's more, of course. There's lots of, I think there's probably about 20-odd verses in Proverbs about friends, but let's simplify it and we'll think about five things. Firstly, you've got to have Jesus as your number one friend. No one can replace that. And don't put your hope, I always say don't put your hope in other people. You've got to trust other people. You've got to have those friendships. But Jesus is the one who you can depend on fully. So he's number one. Make him your number one friend. He's your king. He's your saviour. Secondly, find a few friends that imitate Jesus that are growing in him. They're the ones you want around you. They're the ones you want in your life. You want to invest in them and they invest in you. Have friendships that speak truth in love. And that can be hard. But you can also speak truth back to them. Have friendships that are sharpen and grow you in maturity. So it's a bit like the speaking of the truth in love, isn't it? It's sharpening you. What they do is being sharpening you. And fifthly, don't be surprised of friction. You know, I think so many people think that church should be have no friction, but everything has friction in it, doesn't it? Even families. And so don't be surprised of friction. It's a good thing. It's sharpening you. It's God's way. God challenges you in Proverbs to choose your friends wisely. God tells us it's important because your friends influence and shape your life. So let's ask God now in prayer to help us in this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to our lives. Lord, so often we get so busy. We're just clicking away, adding friends to our lives, and we don't even know what we're doing. Lord, help us to develop our relationship foremost with you as our Lord, as our friend, as our brother. Lord, we are adopted into your family through your work, that you did not leave us in distress, in trouble, but you came and redeemed us, and that is the ultimate brother, ultimate friend. Lord, thank you that you also don't leave our lives as they are, but you sharpen us, Lord. Sharpen us through your word as we hear you speak to us. Lord, you sharpen us through the community of your church. And Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that grace, even though sometimes it's difficult. And even though sometimes it's convicting, Lord, it is rewarding for us. So thank you, Lord, because it's for our good. Lord, help us to choose wisely our friends. Just in our everyday lives, the people we hang around with. Lord, help us maybe sometimes to be wise and bring other good, wise, godly friends into our other friendships, to be there for us if we want to do things for your kingdom, like reach our friends for you. Lord, we pray that that you help us do all these things. We need your help, Lord. We know we can so often just stray, often get our foot on the wrong path, and Lord, help us to keep following you in this. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So just perhaps please have a cup of coffee.